Question. Do you really want to keep the New Year's resolutions you've made? Do you want to quit those 10 naughty things? Want to start jogging? Want to forgive your enemies? To paraphrase a New Year's slogan, the flesh is weak, and maybe the spirit is too.
Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards, and welcome to our final radio broadcast of the year 1996. We're just getting into a most appropriate topic entitled, It Takes More Than Just Say No. Are New Year's resolutions enough to see us through? Do we have the necessary resolve to be good people in 1997? Before we begin our time of study, I want to tell you that we have a delightful book to share with you absolutely free of charge. It's entitled, The Daniel Diaries by our own writer-producer, David Smith. At the close of our time of study, I'll have those details, including a toll-free request line. But right now, let's return to our topic and our Tuesday title, Do-It-Yourself Salvation. It's December 31, 1996, New Year's Eve, and all around the world, millions of people are writing down on a clean, unmarked sheet of paper, in the year 1997, I will tune in and listen to the voice of prophecy every single day of the year. What's more, I will invite all of my neighbors and friends to listen, and all of us will regularly send financial contributions in so that our favorite radio ministry can grow. Now, friend, knowing that this is happening, it's difficult for me to come on the air and say anything negative about New Year's resolutions, but that's our topic as we count down these last few hours and minutes of the year 1996. It takes more than just say no. Why is it that resolutions fail? Why isn't inner strength enough for us to stop sinning, stop cheating, stop smoking, stop eating chocolate cream pie? In our story from yesterday, why would a heroin addict go through treatment, kick his habit cold turkey, and get the drug flushed out of his system, and then walk out the front door of the clinic and shoot up again just 5 minutes later? There's something terribly insufficient about the three man-made words, just say no. Our calendar tells us that today, December 31, is the annual World Peace Meditation Day. Beginning at noon, Greenwich Mean Time, and going for 1 hour, we're all supposed to look inside of ourselves and think about peace. But is there peace? Can the human race look, quote, inside itself, unquote, and come up with peace? It hasn't worked yet, has it? Because there seems to be something very wrong with what's inside of us. Today is also, the trivia buff tells us, Make Up Your Mind Day. After 364 days of indecision, we have just a few hours left in 1996 to get off the fence and make a decision about this or that, which again has us looking inwardly for strength, for wisdom, for that final yes or no of this year. And that's often been a failure too. Looking inside yourself, gazing into the mirror and hoping to find new strength there. There are many reasons why, in the Christian faith, we know the futility of trying to generate our own success and keep our own resolutions. The Christian faith knows all about the limitations of just say no, even though we often forget. There's another resolution we could make, and today I'd like to share just two of those reasons. First of all, we really don't take into account enough the force of the opposition, the reality of our enemy. Here at the Voice of Prophecy, we take the biblical stance that the devil is a real being. He exists, and he has no plans to retire at the end of 1996. Starting tomorrow morning at 12:01 a.m., he's still going to be in operation, and our willpower, our own knows, are no match for Lucifer and his 6,000 years of experience. That's why so many New Year's resolutions, especially those dealing with moral issues and sin, run aground so early in January. Dr. W. R. Ing, the late Dean of St. Paul's in London, wrote an essay once. It is useless for the sheep to pass resolutions in favor of vegetarianism while the wolf remains of a different opinion. Friend, some of the resolutions you're making today, it's a good bet that our spiritual foe doesn't approve of them. And he's going to be on your case first thing tomorrow. In a very good book entitled Winning Over Sinning by Patricia Maxwell, she says this, "The devil is interested in his victory, not ours. He's working to establish his supremacy over God, and he doesn't care what happens to us. He doesn't care if we suffer in the end. In fact, I believe that's what he wants. Even Jesus, the Bible tells us, didn't try to take on the devil. He used Scripture as his shield. He relied on his heavenly Father's power." But over in the tiny mysterious book of Jude, we find this telling comment. Even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." This mightiest of angels didn't meet the devil in his own power and authority. He didn't use the slogan, "Just say no." He simply called on the name of the Lord. But friend, reason two is equally telling. Why aren't we able to just say no? Because, frankly, we don't want to say no. We want to say yes, and most of the time, we find a way to do exactly that. We found this illustrated in the classic Gangs in New York City story, The Cross and the Switchblade, by David Wilkerson. Almost always, people strung out on heroin wanted that drug. They had a craving for it, a desperate need that was physical, mental, spiritual, social, absolutely ingrained into every pore of their bodies and minds. True, some of them came to hate heroin and sought help, but deep down, even then, there was still that desire, that overpowering yes, which drowned out their whispered protests. The flame and the needle and the belt around the arm and that sticky white liquid became a deafening roar they couldn't get past, despite what they might have promised themselves on December 31. It was no wonder junkies themselves called heroin the vulture in my veins, the monkey on my back, and most chillingly, death on the installment plan. A few weeks ago, we quoted from Pastor Marvin Moore's insightful book, The Crisis of the End Time, where he talks about our desire for sin. He says, "That's your problem and mine. We enjoy our sins, and we don't want God taking away that pleasure. Do not love the world or anything in the world," the disciple John wrote in his first letter. But most of us do love the world and its brightly wrapped sin packages. No wonder many of us are secretly relieved when we break that New Year's resolution early on January 1 or 2. Now the pressure's off and we can get back to the way things were before. We're kind of glad that just say no is such an ineffective tool. We mentioned the writer Morris Vinden, who has done some great study in this very area of Christian life. Sometimes he asks his church audience, "Imagine that there's a big red button right up here on the pulpit, right up here in front, and if you come up and simply push that button, all of your sinful desires will instantly be gone. You won't want to do drugs, cheat on your spouse, have temper tantrums, eat unhealthy food, nothing. All sinful tendencies and temptations will be removed miraculously." And then he pauses before asking the punchline question, "Friend, would you want to come up and push the button?" And it gets real quiet in the church right about then. Do we want temptations to go away if that means that our favorite sins are going to go away too? Sometimes we just say no to a temptation, and our body English is crying out, "Ask me again, ask me again." So, friend, what do we do? There's a powerful devil out there, and we already love sin anyway. That's a pretty potent combination. A vicious 1-2 punch on New Year's Eve when we're invited to 5 alcohol-saturated parties. How does the Christian, new or veteran, plan to live a holy life in the year 1997? The one thing we have to do for sure is to give up on the idea that we can succeed on our own. Any strategy that starts with the words, "do it yourself," has got to be scrapped. The story is told about a dad looking sadly at the orthodontist's estimate for his child's mouthful of crooked teeth, and he grumps to his wife, can't we buy some kind of book and straighten her teeth ourselves? Which a parent might be tempted to try, but only a fool would attempt do-it-yourself brain surgery. And our do-it-yourself battle to just say no to things we already love and suggested by an opponent stronger than we are, well, that battle's lost before it starts. That's all there is to it. In fact, Patricia Maxwell uses this very expression when she observes, and I quote, "The new life is not a do-it-yourself project, making a list of good qualities and, quote, going to work on them, unquote, doesn't bring success. If it did, I would have been a winner over sin a long time ago, for I have made more than my share of New Year's resolutions, ways to improve lists, and so on. And I've knelt sadly beside my bed at night and said, guess I'll have to try it again another day, God, because I didn't make it today." And did you count those two I's just in the last sentence? Guess I'll have to try it again, God, because I didn't make it today. Our own slogan, just say no, or just don't do it, as long as it's us talking and only us, is going to lead to nothing but hangovers and tears. The great writer C.S. Lewis has suggested that if we have any idea at all, that life is some sort of exam out there that we can somehow pass, or that we can deserve a passing grade, that idea has to be wiped out, he says, blown to bits. So what do we do? We can already hear the clink of the champagne glasses. The party starts now in just a few minutes. Dangerous suggestions might be coming our way tonight, New Year's Eve, 1996. If we don't fight them, if we don't trust our mantra, just say no, then what do we do? Join us again next year, just 24 hours from now, as we keep on studying. But right now, in one of 1996's last smart decisions, I hope you'll pick up the telephone and let us send you a gift copy of our broadcast book, The Daniel Diaries. There's no charge, and this new book describes how a Bible hero named Daniel successfully defeated his enemies and his temptations. Now, here are some of the chapter titles. I hope they whet your appetite to read the book. B-minus students of the world unite. George Orwell fails the test. Worship God or I'll kill you. No mistakes in God's handwriting. For your free copy of the Daniel Diaries, call toll-free 1-800-872-0055. Again, that's 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Even though the book entitled The Daniel Diaries is absolutely free of charge, it would be appreciated if you'd decide to drop in a year-end contribution to help us with this ministry. Let me remind you again that we will be on the air tomorrow with part three of our series, It Takes More Than Just Say No. If all the bowl games have lopsided scores, or even if they don't, we hope you'll join us. Here's our Wednesday title, Earning Heaven in 97. This is Kenneth Richards speaking for Lonnie Meloshenko, reminding you that it's always true, friend. God really does love you.
How was your summer vacation? Did you get sunburned? When it was all over, did you need another vacation to recover from the first one? Did your vacation enrich your walk with God? Did you go to a camp meeting? Now, if you don't know what a camp meeting is, let me try to tell you. Typically, camp meetings are long weekends or full weeks of meetings held at some camp facility or resort. People stay in tents and RVs and cabins and plush motels. There are meetings for every age group and recreational activities. It's an opportunity to make and renew friendships with other Christians who don't live just next door. And the preaching is something special. At Redwood Camp Meeting in Northern California, I met families who had planned to spend just the weekend before getting on with their vacation, but they had so much fun they stayed the entire week. What would a camp meeting vacation do for you or your family? Do you ever feel somewhat isolated? Are you lonely in your local congregation? Camp meeting is a place to make new Christian friends for yourself and, if you're a parent, for your children as well. So what about it? Interested in a vacation with a positive Christian impact? Why not try a camp meeting next summer? For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is Dan Matthews of Lifestyle Magazine.